Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation Rangers pregame coming up at 5 o'clock. We're getting back to winning ways here with Evaldi on the hill. Pregame at 5, first pitch 5:40. Woolchuck's top 10's right around the corner. And then a proper round trip. We'll have some Rangers content. Let's do a sports hodgepodge here with the Chief.
It's April Fool's Day, also known as Christmas Day for the professional ball sackers out there. I mean, it is rampant on the timeline. You got to be careful. Almost ran with a couple of things today. I thought Arizona State was really going with the red velvet turf.
That was a good bit.
I thought they were going with the red. And here's the reason why. It looked awesome.
Yeah. You could see some sponsors getting in there.
Arizona State, with the graphic that they were going, taking a page out of the Boise State playbook. Or there's another team.
Eastern Washington.
Eastern Washington has red turf. With the red turf.
And then what's our turf? We have gray turf at Eastern Michigan. I think I watched that
one.
Hey,
if you say so, man.
Yeah.
But
have you seen the film with Eastern Michigan? Yeah, gray turf.
It looks very gray.
It's gray.
But the red velvet field at Arizona State, it passed the eye test to me, man. That's one that they might actually want to consider. But that is also a April Fool's prank.
Sack.
Now, I didn't expect Tiger Woods to get in on the sacking today. But he got a lot of people.
Man, you know he loves a good prank like that, though.
He tweets out 8 hours ago.
Probably has a super dorky smile while he's banging it out.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but a few weeks after rupturing my left Achilles, the sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber plus the explosive lifts my doctors and trainers have me ready to play the Masters next week. Can't wait. See y'all on the course.
I mean, it was worth a shot. Aaron Rodgers' butt cracked half the NFL media last year about his Achilles.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll be back.
One of the most underreported ball sackings in sports history.
They should do a some level of 30 for 30 on that, because that was an all-timer. Jets fans actually thought that their beloved Aaron Rodgers was going to be making that comeback. But don't expect to see Tiger Woods out for the Masters, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I believe this is the best headline of the sports day as we go to the New York Post, the back page in New York. This is the Daily News. And it is honoring Pete Alonso and the Mets, because he had a nice grand slam last night. Alonso's on fire. And the headline reads, "Raw polar bear power, not some fancy bat, is all Alonso needs to launch grand slam in Mets romp." And then in big bold letters, it's Torpedo.
Ooh,
for
I like
Pete
it.
Alonso.
Look at that.
Raw polar bear power, not some fancy bat, is all Alonso needs to launch a grand slam in Mets romp.
It's like a new flex. I did it with a regular bat.
Exactly. Bat. That's what this is. This is now they're going to try and shame you for being a torpedo batsman, if that's who you are. The Pete Alonzos of the world are like, hey, we do it traditional over
Don't
here.
Don't need it.
Don't need any help for the power.
Last time I saw something like this, it was the winter of 95, Chief. And what happened is in downhill skiing, alpine skiing, if you will, Brian.
Yeah, is that Franz Klammer in them?
I don't know.
Ah, Franz and Svans.
But skis used to be straight.
Yeah.
They started making them more parabolic, more like an hourglass shape like this. And they were so much better.
Really?
And for about one ski season, the traditionalists were like, oh, I will never ski with those parabolics. You know,
yeah.
I'm a traditionalist. And people were just making so much better turns, and it looked really fun. So everybody switched very quickly.
Yeah, when the proof is in the pudding, and we'll see over the course of time here from a sample size standpoint if this torpedo bat is here to stay. But yeah, be careful. Be careful what you say, because that might come back to bite you if you're shaming the torpedo batsman.
Yeah, we need some real data on this, and then we'll see. But early returns are encouraging that this is just a much better way to take advantage of where that sweet spot is placed.
Would like to take you to the AAC where the Mavs lost to the Brooklyn Nets last night. And before the game, Nico Harrison was out and about schmoozing, rubbing elbows, acting like he's not the biggest bee in the world. Yeah. And right there courtside was a Mavs fan filming in Nico's face as he chanted the inevitable Nico chant.
Fire Nico! Fire Nico! Fire Nico!
As Nico Harrison is just walking into the locker room area. Mm. Right in his face. I do respect that because a lot of this hasn't been completely, you know, it's been at a distance, oftentimes in buildings where Nico Harrison is nowhere close to from a proximity standpoint. This right in his face.
Yep.
He can't get away from it.
Can't run from this.
I do appreciate that's brave. You know, that's courageous, and salute to that fan. I would have liked to see him maybe recruit a quick crowd. You know, you get four or five people there. Can we get some better?
Okay, four or five people, if that's enough, because I think that's the amount of people that were at the AAC for that disaster class of a basketball game last night.
I see. Might have to go over to other sections.
I saw nobody in the Jones seats at courtside.
Oh, they bailed.
Those will be empty for a while, I would presume.
Hmm. So you got your guys back. Here you go, Dumont.
Wasn't Anthony Davis grabbing at his groin last night? Didn't you guys notice that? He's played awful these last few games.
Yeah,
the scoring output just hasn't quite been there for him. He got packed by Timmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
Drew
think
Timmy's family was there.
Hey,
that's for sure.
He's the local March kid. Man. I know that about Drew.
I think he's playing at about 75 or 80%. I think maybe him and the team has a deal. Like, sure, you can come back, but do not go balls to the wall Superman like you did in those three quarters against the Rockets. Okay? Pace yourself.
And if that's the case, then don't have him out there at all.
Exactly.
This is all a waste of time, dude.
Yeah.
And
Klay Thompson was not good last night, though.
Klay Thompson was brutal.
Especially in the fourth. I mean, and I'm not talking
him and Dinwiddie both.
I'm not talking about the final shot, though. He missed some shots.
He did.
Down. I mean, in the fourth that you would think that he would make, and
the free throws just did him in a terrible way. They missed 12
Well, their defense
throws.
Was bad. Sweeney and them, I don't know what they were doing, man.
No,
I mean,
but it wouldn't have been tight in that fourth quarter if they had a
12-0 run. Was it that they went on? I mean, come on. Can't allow that to happen. Turnovers and stuff. It's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. Klay Thompson, I mean, he could be in L.A. right now enjoying what the Lakers have going on or just still be in Golden State. Either way, you'd be a playoff team. So that's certainly
Captain's
a bummer
Captain's going
him.
Down with his ship.
Luka.
Mavs are going to be a play-in team.
They will.
There's no way Phoenix is going to catch him now with the KD situation.
Yeah.
There'll be a play-in.
Sacramento lose last night, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's probably what it's going to come down to.
I think they'll play against Sacramento for the right to play the loser of the 7-8 game.
That's right.
For the 8 seed. Okay.
And then upset the Thunder in the first round.
No, they're going to get some. I don't even think they'll make it to the postseason. I don't see them getting out of the play-in. Now, Luka in the month of March, 30 points, 8.5 rebounds, 8.5 assists, and over 40% from the three-point line. Youngest Laker to average 30-plus points single month since Kobe. That's right.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe.
I said Kobe, right? Kobe Bryant?
I think he slipped an L in there. That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, wait, here we go. Door. Once again,
all right.
Watch
I'm not trying to watchdog your pronunciation. Well,
I mean, and you wonder why I watchdog you everything. Kobe. Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant.
Kobe.
Kobe. Kobe Bryant.
The NFL is how about this from Troy Vincent? The NFL is up 133% on violent gestures, including the CeeDee Lamb finger sniff, and 52% they're up on sexual taunting. And he says, look, we got to be responsible. How about the numbers on that, though? The advanced metrics on the tauntings, the violent and sexual tauntings. He says, we got to be responsible adults. We're not trying to take away the spontaneous moments, but the shooting and the killing and the sexual acts, you're a professional. You did that in high school and peewee ball. This is the pros.
That's what entertainment is.
Clean it up.
That's what you turn on the radio stations, you turn on the movies, you turn on the TV. We got sex and violence everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Jeez.
Quit trying to be so dang. Nobody is for the worse. For any of the violence or sexual gestures that the NFL players made over the last couple of years. Are we in a worse spot? I'd say we're in a better spot that actually their freedom of speech was respected, Brian.
Oh.
An expression.
Why are you dragging me on this?
Because you're against it, too, the fun
police.
Yeah,
I see you, Krusty.
Look at you.
Oh, stop their celebration. They're up in the air.
Didn't you say that? It's just the violence stuff that Bronis doesn't like.
I say it all the time, especially when I'm watching the college tape and those guys start celebrating. I'm like, and the referees jump in there to kind of separate. I'm like, yeah, good job, Mr. Ref.
While
jump in
down,
there.
Don't let them pump like
22
that.
22 points jump in with there. 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and he's celebrating a sack.
Yeah.
So the beer drinking as a sport in ballparks has started to evolve a little bit.
I saw a good cup train the other day. Is that what it's called?
Snake.
Cup?
Oh, the snake.
Cup snake. Yeah.
Yeah, the snake is cool.
Train. What am I doing?
You're thinking other things, man.
Yeah, you are.
Dawson's got me off my game a little bit today.
Uh-huh, yep.
So we had the Tokyo beer backpacks, right, where they're refilling. That was pretty cool.
Brilliant idea.
Now, so you have the souvenir bats, right, of beer.
Yes.
Now, one of the problems with the souvenir bat, because you're holding it at the base of the bat, you can't set it down anywhere. There's not a cup holder that is conducive to the beer bats. So now you're seeing at ballparks a little T-ball kind of stand where you can put the bat in there next to your seat so that it can hold it for you.
Very nice.
So just another example of making it as easy as possible to consume your coldies while watching
your
sports.
So we're reconfiguring seats for
this
bats?
It's not seats. Like you get like this little plastic piece, the little holder to take with you with your souvenir bat so that you can set it down basically on the floor by your feet. While you're sitting there enjoying the game, so you don't just have to hold the beer bat the entire time, because that's one of the hazards.
Dawson, you remember when Coors had cans where you had to push the can in, the top in?
Yeah, the vented cans.
The vented can.
Wide mouths.
And then, and then everybody was just cutting their thumb to shreds.
Yeah, it was
a bad idea. And then they had to make a tool so you can, and nobody ever had the tool to open the beer. I think that lasted not very long.
Oh, you're talking about in the 80s.
You push it. You remember
the pull tab thingies?
Yeah, the pull tab, right. You had to push it in.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they were worried about tabs.
No, I never drank out of those kind of cans.
God.
Not that old.
That, talk about cutting your... Man, okay. Making personal there a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. All right. Yeah, I thought so.
All right.
Are you old? You know,
he
did.
I mean, because those in the audience would probably think that's the 70s, isn't it? I mean, were you drinking these in high school?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's way back.
These shocks.
Let's give you your
I missed the 8-tracks and those kind of cans, just barely.
You missed the 8-tracks?
I did. I never had an 8-track player.
Huh. That's right. Me neither. How about you, old Chuck?
Yeah. No.
Me neither.
I mean, when they expired, they went away entirely. Like, everybody just threw away their 8-track players, and you never saw a sign of them.
Let me tell you what,
they ever existed.
I think the oldest I can do is Walkman.
The thing with the 8-tracks, you had to keep those in a suitcase in the car.
Yeah. They were giant.
Oh, bless you, Bratis.
They were giant. How about me hitting the button?
That was a good sneeze. That was a pro move.
Button.
I feel like Bratis rarely sneezes. Me, Dawson, and Walchuk are sneezing it up in here from time to time.
I'm about to sneeze 26 times in a row. Get ready.
Okay, you prepare your body for your baseball fact of the day, courtesy of Baseball History Nut, at Nut_history on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, this could be fake.
This is real fake.
This is not. Baseball History Nut's one of the greatest follows. Like, if you had to narrow it down, if I could only follow like a select few of accounts on
the history
on Twitter.
Up there?
Nut_history would be right there at the top of the list because they give you facts like this. In 1995, Tony Gwynn had 15 strikeouts in 585 at-bats.
That's true.
We are living in a world right now in 2025 where Rafael Devers has 15 strikeouts in 19 at-bats.
That's true, too.
Yeah, he sure does.
It kept going last night.
God, yeah,
did he keep striking out last night?
Yeah, he sure did.
Was he batting second?
Atta baby, Raf.
They had him in the lineup at the second.
At some point, you got to put that guy... On the bench.
Don't play him.
More impressive thing about Tony Gwynn, though, is how amazing his son was at basketball.
That's right. That's right. Tony Gwynn Jr. will never forget it. Shout out to the San Diego Aztecs.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
The sports hodgepodge is in the books. Woolchuck's top 10 coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Well, if you would like to get some April Fool's pranks going, I got the 10 best ideas for you today. That's next in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Here he is, your Woolly Bully, Zach with an H.
All right, we will have bases coming up on the other side, but we did get some good news with these torpedo bats and the conversations that are going on within the Rangers clubhouse, okay?
Okay.
Donnie Ecker And 877-881-1053. I'll get to the top 10 April Fool's pranks for 2025. If you've ever pulled off a good April Fool's prank, let us know. I'd love to hear it. But here was hitting coach Donnie Ecker. I think there's moments when things are pioneered in sports, and this feels like one of them. He's a big believer in the advantages of optimizing science and technology, and in some ways it feels like technology is finally starting to catch up to the offensive side, said one Kevin Pillar. Now, Jake Berger, we'd love to see a Berger bomb with the torpedo bat.
Yeah.
He said he's skeptically interested. For certain guys, it's probably beneficial, okay? But for my swing, I feel like I hit more balls off the end of the bat than I get jammed. When I do feel like I barrel balls, I don't think they need anything extra. I feel like there isn't a lot of in-between on my misses. I'm way out in front on misses, and it's a ground ball. It's not like I mishit it, and it's a routine fly ball, but I'm interested. So Berger said he'd probably want to test the bat out for a couple of weeks before he felt comfortable using it. But Jock Peterson has already ordered the bats, and he is immediately going to use them. Simple as that.
I would want just a scientific study of my swing and where the sweet spot would be best well positioned.
And that's what they do. That's what's cool about these bats. It's not like it's a one size fits all.
Yeah, so I think Berger might sound a little bit skeptical, but then he said, I'm open-minded to it. That's all you need here, and then to try it out, because I think there's going to be a significant difference. I think they're going to have to look at maybe changes to the baseball by the time this torpedo bat trajectory has run its full story.
Torpedo balls.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time they've juiced these balls in some way, shape, or form. We don't even find out until the end of the year. Oh, that's why the offense was down? Had a different baseball that you were using? Mm. Jerks. We do have another defensive tackle off the market. Shefty reporting. Six-time Pro Bowl defensive lineman Calais Campbell is finalizing a one-year deal to return to the Arizona Cardinals. Campbell was a second-round pick back in 2008 Arizona. 2008. Played there until 2016. Now he's going to play his 18th NFL season. That feels like it could be one last ride. I'm going to end my career where I started my career.
Good player. Really wanted the Cowboys to get him. I guess it must just be out of the price range, huh?
1 year, $5.5 million. Max value of $7.5 million.
Oh, jeez.
That is actually more than I probably thought he was going to get. He's deserving of it, though. Yeah. There's no question about it. I think he made less with the Dolphins last year, but he was really good with the Dolphins last year.
He was good. He can still play.
Maybe this is just him wanting to go back for one last ride with Arizona, but you would have to think a contending team out there would have been interested in this dude, because he's an Iron Man. You can depend on him every single Sunday, dude. For the last 18 years.
It's crazy.
That is so impressive. And I know it's not the sexy quarterback stuff, the Brady stuff. I get it. But probably more just the physical demand and what he's had to do and still being able to play at a high level after that long at that position.
It's unbelievable.
It really is incredible.
It is. I mean, he's a guy that I definitely would have been interested in, even at that price. But, oh, well.
Hey, it's one thing to be a quarterback at 40-plus like Tom Brady.
Sure.
The D-tackle getting it done.
Hey, Zach, did you see where Coastal Carolina's got free concessions at their football games next year?
Isn't that awesome?
And that is not an April Fool's joke,
right? And they put out like a video, but today, because people were wondering, is this an April Fool's joke?
Yeah.
It's not. They went ahead and verified it. But yeah, anyone who's been to a college game or can go to a college game at Coastal Carolina this year, they will be giving away free concession items.
I think the April Fool's joke will be the quality of the dog that you get for free.
Could it be any worse than the dollar dog, though?
I mean,
you think? In what way?
You ever had a 50-cent dog?
You ever had hot dog buns stale?
Stale.
What's that 84 cents thing we could get at the German soccer game? It's like a loaf
slice of white bread.
Bread and onion and lard.
Onion, paprika.
Bread and onion.
I don't know, man. The dog at the Coastal Carolina game might be better than that.
It has to be better than
that. As long as you've got a ticket, you will be able to acquire 4 items per concession stand visit from a selection of hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, and fountain drinks. And there's no limit to the number of in-game visits, but fans must scan each trip through the line with the soon-to-be-launched Coastal Carolina Athletics app.
Yeah. Dawson, you would punish them on those Diet Cokes.
Yeah, I'm going to load up on the Diet Coke.
I'll do
popcorn nachos.
Nachos? Yeah. You're just going to pass on the hot dog?
You know, there's no meat in those nachos. That's just the queso. Or the ballpark queso.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I'm not complaining.
That queso. That's slapping queso in the face.
Speaking of nachos, you're going to get you some Friday. We're doing the baked potato thing Friday, too, right?
Yeah, we're at the park on Friday. We got to do the baked potato. Yeah.
Cannot wait.
I'm going to execute the mission of just barehanding that thing.
The home of the Hurtado nachos.
The nachos, yeah. We can see if we get some of those, yeah.
Is there a rule against spilling?
I think that we were going to see how like you were able to handle it because there's going to be spillage.
Yeah, there's going to be spillage.
Yeah, but well, like hopefully not all over the ground and stuff. Like you actually eat the thing and don't spill it.
I did have some Tolos send me photos that were there for opening weekend and
looks rough.
It's pretty substantial. Just when you compare it into the hands of someone, you can get that dynamic. You're like, okay, this thing is large.
All right.
But I feel good about it.
Dawson are going to split one.
Okay. Yeah. It's adorable.
You're going to split one like you couldn't eat a whole one by yourself?
You guys are so cute, man.
We were talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't think I could eat a whole one. It'd be a waste. But also,
I could definitely eat the whole. But yeah, you just grade me on a scale of 1 to 10 on just how proficient I was, I guess. You know, grading the spillage.
Yeah, I don't want you like dropping it all over the damn ground.
I don't either. You think I want to waste any of that delicious brisket?
There's a possibility you will.
No, there's no chance. There's no chance.
Watch.
My hand-eye coordination is too good for that.
We're going to have a lot on the ground. That's the main thing. A lot on the ground.
I'm totally with
you. 5-second rule. I'll pick it up. I was actually reading with inflation now, you could actually get that thing to about 7 seconds.
But you can't just pick up everything off the ground and see, like, see, it's fine.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you've got the potato in one hand.
I lose points. Okay. Like, yeah, you guys grade me, scale 1 to 10, just how proficient the execution was. That's all.
Can you give an estimate on bites, the number of bites you're probably
going to need? When I see it, whenever I get right up close and personal to it, then I'll tell you roughly how many bites I think it'll take.
Okay, we got to figure out what gate we get that at, right?
Well, it's Hurtado.
Oh, is it a Hurtado thing?
Heck yeah.
This is
a Hurtado barbecue potato.
Yes, bro.
Oh, it is?
God. That's what I'm saying. I'm not gonna be just willy-nilly letting crap fall to the ground. No, that's gold.
I thought this was a Ranger's item. I mean, just a Ranger
But it's a Hurtado item.
The R in Hurtado stands for Rangers.
Gotcha.
Jack.
Gotcha, brother.
Jeez, we really listen so well on this show. Got great listening skills.
Not me.
You're the only one that has ticked off a guest with a double ask, by the way, Wolchuk.
Hey, it's not the first time we've double asked.
First time they got ticked off, though.
No lies detected.
Well, he was very nice on the phone. We found out after the fact.
If you were listening earlier, I would have told you about Jack Leiter. But
it wasn't even Jack Leiter. See, again, Brian doesn't know what the hell the topic of conversation
I really
was.
Don't. You're right.
Evaldi?
The fact that Dawson brought it up, I thought was awesome.
What's your top 10 today?
Okay, let's get to the top 10 April Fool's pranks. Now, I have never actually fulfilled the April Fool's prank. I don't think that it's ever that.
Bennett got me last year.
What did he say? He was pregnant or something?
No, he failed out.
You really believe that?
I did.
Bennett's too smart for that.
He was like, Dad, it got really rough.
That guy drinks enough beer.
That's what he said. He goes, Dad, yeah. I started drinking a lot, and I just couldn't keep up.
This frat life is taking over me, Dad.
I was like, damn it, Bennett. I kind of got mad.
So you've got autocorrect chaos. You can go ahead and find an unsuspecting friend's phone, tablet, computer. And they leave it unattended. You change the autocorrect settings so yes becomes no or hello becomes whatever the heck you want to make it. Like something like I love broccoli or some crap.
Hmm. Yeah, that's probably what I would go with.
Sounds criminal.
Like I love something else. Yeah. Color-changing juice. Add a few drops of food coloring to the milk or juice carton. Watch their surprise where they pour out liquid. Bonus, this doesn't harm the drink, so no groceries are wasted in the course of this prank.
I love it.
Just harms your body when you consume the dye, that's all.
Suspicious soap.
Stay away from red and blue.
Paint a dry bar of soap with clear nail polish and place it in the back of the shower or sink. That way, it won't sud up when it gets wet. Much to the confusion of the unsuspecting bather.
I just don't think the payoff on that is incredible.
What are you going to do, sitting there and wait?
Right.
Hey, were you confused in that shower 10 minutes ago?
Yeah. Oh, how was it? You don't even get to see the reaction. Stupid. Mouse mayhem. Place a small piece of clear tape over the bottom sensor of someone's computer mouse. When they try to use it, the cursor won't move, no matter how much they shake. That was always the most annoying thing ever back when you were having to use a computer mouse.
That's gold right there. Like, I
just,
like that.
What's going on? This thing just doesn't work. What's happening?
Dad's working from home.
Should have done that to Sean this morning when he's back. We'll do that next April 1st to Sean with this mouse right here.
You should just do that in general.
What's going on?
That'd be
here.
A great bit. Just leave it. And he's like, I can't type anything. Bobby, I can't click on anything.
Who broke the damn computer here?
He's sending emails, but he can't send an email.
God, leave here a week. Everything falls apart. Damn it.
Frozen flakes, night before, pour milk over a bowl of cereal.
What are you even talking about over there, bro?
Serve it as breakfast while you act normal. Watch as your prank victim struggles to spoon up the rock-hard flakes, baffled momentarily by their breakfast. You've got a sticky note surprise. You can cover someone's desk, car, or mirror with a bunch of sticky notes. I've seen that done before. It's too much time involved in that.
Way too much time.
The air horn attention grabber. Fasten an air horn under someone's chair with tape. So that when they sit down, it blasts a loud noise. You can also do that with like whoopee cushions.
Oh, I love a good whoopee
cushion. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's proper.
You buy some fake poop. Put it anywhere on the toilet or in the car. Somebody thinks like, oh my God, somebody just pooped in here. Change the date. Before somebody wakes up in the morning, you change all the calendars in the house. Or you could do this with clocks, too. And so now they're not sure what the hell time it is. Maybe change the phone time. Now they think they're late for work. The panic that sets in.
That happens in the Dawson household naturally, right?
Yes, it does.
That's annoying.
I just got pranked on that three mornings in a row.
That is annoying. And then finally, the car caper. You slip a sign reading honk and smile inside the car of your prank target. And now everybody's just driving by, like, honking at them, and they don't know what the hell's going on.
That's good.
That could be a day ruiner right there. But there's just a few best April Fool's pranks for funsies that you could play on your friends or family.
Thank you, Woolchuck. Top 10 at 420 almost every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation, except Mondays during Ranger season. That's when CY joins us. He joined us yesterday. That was outstanding. Unfortunately, did not get them some good Rangers luck, but we got Jack Leiter goosed up in the G-Bag Blessing Department earlier today. He joined us at 2:20, and you can usually tune in Tuesdays at 3:20 for that Rangers player show. Really excited about this whooping they're going to put on the Reds. Pre-game's coming up at 5 o'clock, and we're back with the round tripper, Woolchuck. What kind of baseball gold's in store?
All right, we had a history last night in Major League Baseball, the latest power rankings, and your lineup for tonight. That's next in the Nation.
Thank you, Ross. In for Lucius today. Rangers pregame's coming up at 5 o'clock here on the Fan as they get set to visit the Reds in the second of their three-game set. Tomorrow's game at 11:40. We're planning to join you about 3 o'clock or so and take it all the way until 7. Frank Caliendo in studio tomorrow at 4. Here's Woolchuck with that proper round tripper.
All right, Rangers, of course, in Cincy. They're going to be taking on Carson Spears, who is a righty. Evo back on the bump. Lineup relatively similar. You had Simeon leading off, and boy, do they need Marcus to get going in a big way. He has struggled to open the season. Corey Seager batting second, playing short. Wyatt Langford playing left field, batting third. Jock Peterson will be DHing. I'm putting the call in for Jimmy Jock tonight. Jock Peterson will hit his first home run of the season. Elbombi, Adolis Garcia playing right, Jake Berger at first, followed by Josh Smith at third, Kyle Higashioka at catching, and Leody Taveras will be playing center field and batting ninth. So there's your Rangers order for tonight. Did get some sad news. One of my all-time favorites, Lance Lynn, has announced that he will be retiring at the age of 37. He made the announcement on his wife's podcast, Diamond in the Rough, this morning. Good name for a baseball podcast, right? Diamond in the Rough. That's nice.
Yeah, that's a nice touch.
13-year veteran, two-time All-Star, 20. Well, we're going to skip that part of the equation. But yeah, he was great. He was awesome for the time that he played with the Rangers. Really good dude. And shout out to Lance Lynn on an incredible career. Perhaps one of the best righties. His best season could have been 2019 with the Rangers. He went 16-11. 3.67 ERA, 246 Ks, and 203rd innings. He also finished fifth in AL Cy Young voting that year. So quite the season for Lance Lynn in Texas.
Wasn't he pretty good last year? Like, yes, he was good last year.
Yeah.
Definitely. He just had his number and teams weren't willing to reach it. So he said, I'm out of here.
And I had seen, like, right before the season started, he was even like, I'll come out of the bullpen for you.
Really?
Who knows? Maybe Lance Lynn gets that itch again. Maybe we haven't seen the last Lance.
Seems like he's still got something, but he is 37 years old.
Red Sox Garrett Crochet's agreed to a 6-year extension through 2031. He's getting the bag. Deal worth up to $170 million. It'll start in 2026. Includes an opt-out after the 2030 season when Garrett Crochet will still only be 31 years old. I didn't realize how young he was.
Dang.
But this is the most money ever for a player with 4-plus years of service, trumping the deal for Jacob DeGrom that he signed with the Mets in 2019. So congratulations to Garrett Crochet. Now, last night, we had history made. Carson Kelly hit for the cycle. He became the first Cubs player to have and to hit for the cycle in more than 30 years. Just the 18th catcher in Major League history to hit for the cycle as the Cubs just destroyed the A's 18-3 in Sacramento. Now, at 30 years old for Kelly, this was incredible for him. I mean, this was not a dude who had had a ton of success, but he comes out, hits for that cycle. Now, I don't know, do you dock him because it's in like a minor league park at all? Is it like not as cool? The dimensions are a little bit smaller than your typical major league park.
No, it's still great.
Still pretty cool. Still pretty cool. Yeah.
Harder to get a triple in a smaller park.
It is.
I want to see him rounding those bases for that triple. I wonder what that looked like.
Hauling ass. We had Russian revelations earlier. Freddie Freeman has aggravated his surgically repaired ankle. He had a shower mishap.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's considered day-to-day. That's what Dave Roberts told us. Injury was a result of a mishap while stepping into the shower, and that he is now day-to-day. Now, this can be a treacherous activity. Sometimes there's a lot of slippage that can occur here.
He should definitely have been using some sort of a slip-resistant mat, maybe a sit-down shower or a bath situation. But those post-surgery recovery times, it's a dangerous time to be showering. Well, Chuck.
You ever slipped in the shower?
Oh, yeah.
Brian?
Nope.
Never?
Nope.
Never slipped in the shower?
Nope.
Just Avis parking
lots. What about getting out of the shower?
Nope. It's one of my biggest fears, though. I'll tell you, I have a problem because of I get vertigo. Like when I wash my, the hair, I close my eyes and I get dizzy sometimes. And I feel like I'm going to fall in the shower. But
sometimes. Do you just body wash your scalp or do you actually shampoo that?
I use like tea tree stuff. That tea tree makes the mint.
Is it the same thing you put on the rest of your body, or is it separate
from
the scalp?
No, it's separate. Yeah, okay. Just Dove.
Probably time for a stool in there to sit down in.
You think?
I think so.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, when you see one of those showers where they got like the built-in bench kind of deal.
At the Super Bowl, I had the handicap room. The suite was I had that room. Yeah,
it was by design.
Yeah, man. I think so. Those places we've been staying, they don't have a shower curtain.
There have been a few.
Some of them are open.
You know, it's like that open door kind of thing.
I hate it. I don't like it.
The splash is out of this world.
It's just annoying.
And you get that cool kind of air coming in when you're trying to have a cozy, warm shower.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, this water's everywhere. What is the concept of this?
I don't quite get that whole bit. I really don't. Yeah, at the Super Bowl, we had that. I had that problem. It was only like a half glass. I don't know what that was all
not
about.
Not full coverage. Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
You were alluding to the fact that you have slipped and fell in the shower.
I have once before. I think it was like trying to get out of the shower, and it was just whoop, boom. And
isn't that the guy from Friends went down?
Took a tumble.
Oh, that was something else. Was that another guy? Somebody famous slipped in the shower.
I'm sure it's happened to many people.
We lost somebody falling in the shower.
Like they hit their head?
Died? Yeah.
Depending on what your bathroom setup is, this could end up being a violent situation.
Yeah. Was yours a traditional shower or was it like a bathtub that
bathtub
you were showering
shower
in? You had
deal.
To step over the ledge.
I had to step over and there was a slippery spot and I just, boom, and I was very fortunate I didn't end up breaking some part of my face.
Yeah, early on in my marriage, that was a huge point of contention because my wife found it funny to, like, while I was showering, sneak up and just like, you know, and like, you
got
freak
you
out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, dude. Yeah. And it happened like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, this can't happen anymore.
Yeah.
We have to draw a hard line in the sand here. You want to scare me other places? I guess that's fine, even though it kind of pisses me off if I'm rounding a corner or something.
Yeah.
But the shower scare is a no-go.
No, we can't be scaring people in the shower. Last thing, Hiroki Sasaki, the Japanese phenom.
Oh, this poor guy.
Oh, man. So he came out. He didn't make it out of the second inning during his U.S. debut with the Dodgers on Saturday afternoon, and he appeared to be crying in the dugout after he got pulled.
Yeah.
But former Major League Baseball All-Star Eric Hosmer, who was watching at home on his couch, thinks that he was cheating.
What?
What?
Yeah. He thinks he was cheating. I think that there's an argument to be made that a small or mid-market team like the Dodgers could be allowing Roki Sasaki to cheat. He presented this hypothesis that he's obviously using a sticky substance and he's having a tough time blending his grip on the ball, and it's because he's trying to use the sticky stuff that is illegal and not allowed. So they call the Eric.
So he's sitting there crying because he knows he's screwed.
He's cheating and he's still sucking. Like he's trying to cheat and he's still really bad at cheating.
That would make me cry.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. Maybe he's just not used to this, and the Dodgers are. Maybe the Dodgers do this.
This is so good. Yeah.
But poor guy.
Well, it was disappointing the Rangers didn't get him. I know they wanted him, and they realized early on they probably weren't going to get him. So it was a very anticlimactic. But if he could just go ahead and, you know, be a disappointment for them, I think that's what they deserve at this point, throwing around all their money.
He does
trying
have
to money whip the league into a dynasty.
There was a lot of wiping of the hands going on here. I don't know if he was using sticky substances or not. They're supposed to check for this stuff. They didn't find anything, but poor Roki Sasaki. Not only did he Sasaki again.
That is something. Do you think he loses respect in the clubhouse if you're crying sitting there in the dugout? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Japanese culture, is there a lot of tears?
I don't know about that whole deal with Japanese culture and honor and all that, how that goes.
I don't know.
I don't know if he's violated anything with their protocols. I just know here in the good old U.S. of A,
can't be seen.
We don't take well to crybabies.
No, I can't do that.
He is in California,
in the
though,
clubhouse. So. Yeah, I'm sure there's some sympathetic ears.
Don't make fun of him, honey. Okay?
It's his first start.
He's in a foreign country struggling.
It's not his fault. He's got sticky hands. Well, thank you, Woolchuck. Proper round tripper in the books. Rangers pregame coming up here at the top of the hour. Evaldi is on the hill. And it's a sight for sore eyes after that pitching performance last night. Troubling loss, but I'm sure they're going to bounce back. Let's get some hits. Let's get some offense. Thanks to Ross Lubinsky filling in for Lucius Alexander. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo. The Nosebleed Boys were on fire across this 3-hour journey. And, of course, thanks to Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. You're going home with the Nation. Addies.